Well, for those who are watching on the internet or later on DVDs, you're not going to see the beautiful sight that we have outside here in Lincoln today. The snow is falling. It's looking like winter, and I seem to be getting a sign here from the video booth. I think it's Marvin up there telling me that, yeah, the roads might be getting dangerous out there, so I should preach longer, Marvin, is what you're saying? Okay, folks, I was going to preach a short sermon today, but I believe in keeping you safe. And so I think Marvin wants me to preach until the snow stops and the plows have had a chance to, all right, I may need some water to keep going, but all right. Will you pray with me as we begin? Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the snow that falls. We thank you for the grace that falls upon our hearts from your throne. Now, Lord, as we open your word, may you speak to us, and may we hear your message and find your peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In my mind's eye, I can still picture it. All of my family sitting together in the living room. My sister and I sitting on the couch, and my mom wasn't working in the kitchen. My dad wasn't working at the bank. We were all together on Christmas Eve. We'd driven back from church that night, that evening, and we'd driven actually through the snow. And I used to love watching my dad drive through the snow at night when I was little. I just loved that because it always looked, as we were driving through those country roads and the snow was flashing by, I always felt like I was in the Millennium Falcon and we were flying into hyperspace, the snow going by. Not as much fun to drive in snow now as it was when I was a kid. But that night, we were all at home, and we were all together. Everything was ready for Christmas the next day. The tree was decorated, the presents were all wrapped, there was no school to worry about and no work to stress our minds. Everything was peaceful. And then to cap off the night, my father read the Christmas story to us from the Bible. And I'd heard it before, I'd read it before many times, but this night and this hearing of the story has stuck into my mind. Everything seemed at peace in my life and in the story. Well, I'm older now, whether I'd want to admit it or not, and December is not as peaceful as it once was. Have you noticed that? I mean, it's really not. What about you? I mean, is this month that's now upon us and ahead of us, is this month a peaceful month for you? What do you say? Well, we're not quite sure. Do you look at your list of things to do, and do you really think, oh man, when is January going to get here so I can be at peace? Can we find peace this Christmas season? Well, let's look in the Bible and let's see. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open them up. We're going to start in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at the birth story in both of these Gospels, Luke and Matthew. And we're going to see if we can find some peace today. So Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to begin. If you'll go with me there to a very familiar section of Scripture. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." It sounds peaceful, doesn't it, when you read it? But then we hear another scene. We hear about the angels coming and they appear to the shepherds, and this scene sounds glorious, but it's still peaceful, isn't it? I mean, the text even says it. If you follow down to verse 10, it says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" I mean, the message on that starry night was peace on earth and goodwill to all. We sing about peace this time of year, don't we? We hang peace on a tree. But do we have peace where it counts? Do we have peace in our hearts? Well, the shepherds got up from their flocks and they raced into town, and they find this peaceful scene in a very unlikely place. They find a baby and his parents in a manger. And the story hits a climax with a scene of peace. Verse 19 says that Mary just ponders everything that's happened in her heart. It's a very peaceful moment here in the Bible. It's almost like the song lyric that says, "And all the world is at peace." But then we get done reading and we close our Bibles, take a deep breath, and then bam! Here comes the world crashing into our silent solitude. Political unrest, financial problems, family troubles, health concerns, and the list goes on and on and on. Some days the world just seems to spin around us, doesn't it? It's all we can do just to keep our head above water until we finally, at the end of the night, make it to our bed and we collapse in bed for a few hours trying to forget that we have to get up the next day and do it all over again. It almost makes you want to crawl into the pages of this book, doesn't it? I just want to stay there in the manger, don't you? Well, if that's how you're feeling, I have a question for you. Because in my life, there have been times when I've thought, boy, just let me stay with Jesus where all is at peace. But if you feel like that, I want to ask you, was everything peaceful around Jesus? Can sometimes feel that way when we read the birth story, especially Luke's birth story. But I want you to look at the other version, the story of Jesus' birth. Let's check out Matthew's take. So turn with me to our scripture reading today, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew doesn't talk about the shepherds. He tells the story about some wise men who come from the east. We know the story, the wise men who followed the star. Now, fellas, let's be honest. It's probably a good thing that God sent them a star to guide them, right? Because if he would have wrote down directions for them, who knows where they would have ended up? Because we all know men's aversion to following directions on a road trip. We just don't like to do it. So it's a good thing. God is very wise, and he knew he needed to send a star to guide them. And we know the song, right? Star of wonder, star of night. Westward leading, still proceeding. Guide us to that perfect light. The song sounds peaceful, but what's the story? Let's look and see. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. And it reads, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where? Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." The story begins with the wise men arriving, and then it immediately tells us that the king is troubled. The king is mad. And back in those days, it's not a good time for anyone for the king to be troubled. But it wasn't just the king. Verse 3 tells us What's it say? All of Jerusalem is troubled. Everybody is freaking out about these wise men who have arrived. I can imagine the news spreading like wildfire. Gossip in the streets. Did you hear? Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, I heard too. Have you heard about that? There's supposed to be a baby that's going to be born king. Say what? I didn't know that the queen was pregnant. She's not. Oh man, the king's not going to like this. Where did the news come from? Well, there's some foreigners in town. They're trying to find a baby born to be king of the Jews. You can imagine what was talked about in the streets following these guys' arrival. Because kings had to constantly watch their back in those days. You just read through the stories in the books of Kings and Chronicles, and you realize that kings sometimes had the habit of getting removed from office or just straight out being killed, sometimes by their friends and sometimes by their family. So this news of a baby born to be king has King Herod on edge. But Herod's a clever king, and watch what he does in verse 7. So then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship also." Find this baby and bring the news back to me. So off go the wise men. And the star again leads them to Bethlehem. And then here comes this another amazing scene of the season that we can still picture in our minds, that peaceful moment that we just want to jump into the Bible and just kind of sit off to the side and watch as it happens. In verse 10 of Matthew 2, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's just peaceful watching these rich men from the east give these amazing gifts to the child. Now, they're not your typical baby shower gifts, are they? I mean, there's no diapers here. There's no wipes. There's no baby clothes. I mean, have you ever gone to a baby shower and brought frankincense for them? Here you go. Some frankincense. I've never done that before. But with all the stuff you need for a baby today, a gift of gold might come in handy, I think, could see. And although these gifts, when we look at them, they, you know, don't look like they have a real practical use at first. In reality, they actually have something to teach us about this baby. Because each gift that's given symbolizes a role that Christ would play in order to save humanity. The myrrh that's given, myrrh was used in those days for burial preparation. And so the myrrh is a symbol of Christ who would one day become our sacrifice to die for us. The frankincense, of course, incense was used in the sanctuary. It's a symbol of Jesus, not as our sacrifice, but as our high priest in heaven, hearing our prayers today. And gold, of course, was a gift fit for the king. And it foreshadows that this baby Jesus was not going to just stay a baby, but one day would be the coming conquering king. All from the gifts of the wise men. So the gifts are given, and again, all is at peace. Or so it seems if we stop the story there. And most times, if we're honest, we do stop the story right there. We stop reading. Oh, good. And put the Bible away when we read it on Christmas Eve. And if we do that, it seems a little unfair because we think, man, everything was so peaceful when Jesus was born, but my life ain't peaceful. Have you ever felt like that? How come I can't have peace like they did there with Jesus? Well, my friends, Jesus' life, even in the beginning, was far from peaceful. We need to keep reading. Look at verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Does that sound peaceful? Ladies, after you have your child, your baby, do you want to hop on a road trip to Egypt? Not even in a car, but on foot or on a donkey. The king decides the best way to deal with this person who may take my throne is I'm going to just kill it. And if I have to kill tons of babies to do it, so be it. That's the way kings operated back then. Back then, kings did whatever it took to get what they wanted, and most times kings got what they wanted. And the king wants Joseph's and Mary's child dead. Not a peaceful end to the story. Well, years ago, my child was born. Johanna was born in the state of Florida. And we were right there in the room when she entered our world. And we were on cloud nine. But it wasn't as peaceful as you might think. There was still a lot to fall into place for us to bring our little girl home. And we actually ended up stuck in Florida for several weeks waiting for governments to decide if this could happen and if she could leave that state and go to the state of Kansas. At that time, we should have been on pins and needles, worrying that this adoption might not happen. Everything hung in the balance. Would it work? Would something change? And so one day, as we're waiting day upon day, I asked Jeanette, I said, "Are you nervous? I mean, this whole thing could fall apart. Our dream could end." And she replied to me, she said, "I know, but I'm not nervous." "Are you?" I said, "No, I'm not. And that's weird. We should be. We should be freaking out right now. But I'm at peace." You see, we had a lot of people praying for us at that time. From all over. I know Darlene Myers had people right here at Piedmont praying for this young couple trying to bring a baby home. We weren't scared. We just had this sense of peace, even in the midst of that incredible uncertainty. Now, we had to deal with uncertainty and a slow government process. That doesn't compare at all to what Joseph and Mary had to deal with the government wanting their baby. The government wasn't just deliberating when they could take the baby back to Nazareth. The power of the king wanted their child dead. Matthew 2, verse 14 says, "When Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed for Egypt. They flee for their lives to a foreign land." Jesus started in this world as a refugee, did he not? Jesus' birth story, it may sound peaceful, and we may remember it as peaceful, but that birth story does not end peacefully at all. And maybe, just maybe, that's the reason that you and I can have peace today. Amen. Because the story does not end in a peaceful manger scene. See, if the story of Jesus was only a baby in a manger, it may sound peaceful, but it would not help with the problems of life and living in this sinful, war-torn, messed-up world. But the story doesn't end in the manger. The story continues until you find yourselves confronted with the horrors of Gethsemane. The story of this baby continues until you experience the torture of a cross. The story continues until you see the glory of the triumph of an empty tomb. And the entire story ends with Jesus finally overcoming sin and evil forever. And it's because of that ending that he can give us peace. Listen to what the babe in the manger says after he grows up. In John 16, verse 23. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, But take heart, I have overcome this world. Peace, not just in the crazy busy month of December, not just for a few quiet hours on the eve of December 24th, but Jesus can give you his peace, true peace, a peace that does not leave when the storms of life hit, a peace that lasts in the face of opposition, a peace that you can have when confronted with hard times, a peace that sustains us even on the worst of days, even on the impossible days. The manger scene shows and reveals a peace that comes when Jesus enters one's life. And that type of peace is not just the absence of trouble, but it's a peace that is stronger than trouble. Listen again to the babe in the manger, grown into a man, as he makes one final promise to us this morning. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world does. I do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." True peace of knowing that we are his children and he is our God. That is the gift that God wants to give to you this Christmas season. Only he doesn't want to put this gift under your tree. He wants to put this gift of peace in your heart. Will you accept Jesus' gift of peace this Christmas season? It's there for the taking, if only we will accept it. Almighty Father in heaven, thank you again for telling us the old, old story, that after all these years it should have grown old, but it hasn't. We still long to hear it because it reminds us that we can have peace in this messed up world. Lord, thank you for this gift of peace that comes from not just a peaceful manger scene, but from a baby who became a man, who died on the cross, and who's coming again to end the war and to bring peace eternal. Lord Jesus, may that peace begin right here, right today, in this room and in our hearts. And may we share it with others. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.